Dumelang Thobela, hello. Welcome to the SL Cabinet, your go-to weekly news wrap-up. My name is Kwena Mashole, and as always, I'm joined by my incredible co-host, Nandine Tini.
Hi, guys.
Unfortunately, Herman Molloy is out sick, guys, so please pray for him. New week, same energy. We're here to break down the biggest stories, the wildest debates, and those crazy headlines. Unfortunately, today, guys, this episode is going to be a little bit short, as we're going to be only covering three topics, while the topics that we have found to be the biggest, and we want to obviously give them enough time to discuss it. So right off the bat, three cops found in the Hennops River. So three of duty cops, Kiamogetswe, Boipelo, as well as Cebekhulu, were found deceased in the Hennops River near Swart Centurion after being reported missing for nearly a week, right? So the officers initially departed from the Bloemfontein in Free State to Limpopo province and were last seen at a petrol station near the Gasmere Toll Plaza on the N1 in Gauteng, right? And shortly after 2 a.m. on Thursday, all signals from their cell phone as well as the vehicle tracking system ceased. So let's just stop there for now. Nandi, what are your thoughts on what happened? Or not even what happened, when the news broke out initially?
Like, honestly, for me, this thing happened over the weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think the news broke out, was it on Monday?
Yes.
Then, like, what went through my mind was, I mean, when did they find out that these three cops, now four, were actually missing? And just also finding out, the matter is that, like, we spoke, because yesterday we were speaking with our colleague Michelle, just trying to find out, police have so much accessibility.
Yes.
So the tracker goes off, the calls, why are they not tracking their calls? Who was the last person did they speak to? Were they even going on an assignment, or was just a trip that they were going on? So it's just, there's a lot of questions around what really happened. And what scares me the most is the fact that maybe someone out there, maybe also in the police side, they knows really what happened to these constables. Because it's really sad. They are young.
They're definitely
like
young.
24 to 30. Like,
they're very young.
it's very young. Someone could have had a hand in this. That's just my two cents.
No, it's okay, Nandi. So in addition to the information that we just gave you guys, right, three constables, like Nandi just said, two other bodies were discovered. One identified as a administrative clerk from the Littleton police station, and another unidentified individual, right? And then yesterday, the police then found a white VW Polo. They literally took it out from the river yesterday. So now, going forward, obviously, Commissioner General Fanny Masemola said it was important for them not to speculate what led to the bodies being discovered into the river. Let's take an audio listen to Ofani right now.
What a painful relief, however. But at least we are quite happy that after hard work, we can indeed say the car has been recovered, and actually not far from where we suspected the car went through. So it has been recovered by the team. I was told the team said this morning they realized the water level was quite high. Up somewhere downstream, the river was blocked by debris, which they unblocked, and the water started flowing. The river subsided a bit, and with the search, they found the car. From I think the look of eyes, when you can see that the car looks like it capsized first before it impacted on the wall, including the barrier on the side, and then eventually went into the water. The vehicle has been found now, as you see it. Investigation, we have got no rules to stick to one whatever charge when you investigate. Forensics, they're going to go through the car, look thoroughly on the car, and the fact that I'm saying it looks like it capsized first, remember, I'm not an expert, it's what I'm seeing, but they will be able to determine, because they are engineers, they are qualified people, they will thoroughly investigate the car, they'll be able to tell us exactly what happened to the car.
So now, guys, introducing our special guest, Mike Bulhays, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, a specialist investigator on serious violent crimes. He's going to take us through, not the scenes per se, but just to make us understand what could have happened from the tracking system being stopped, and what could have followed, and exactly what people can do to kind of mitigate tracking and situations around that. So, Mike, just obviously, from what we have heard from the discussion as it is, and with the police cops being found in the river, from their tracking device being stopped and to their bodies being found, what are the possibilities that could have happened from the tracking device being stopped? And how are tracking devices so, how can I say that, easily identified by criminals these days?
All right. So, number one, it's very important to understand that no matter what technology that is fitted or available, this is a statement I always make. There's always the possibility of something that can go wrong. But that will all be identified once investigated by the forensic unit, whether that was due to, in this case, weather or something, form of manipulation or device or whatever. So rest assured that with the recovery of the vehicle and with all the information already received and investigated, after the completion of the forensic investigations on the bodies and on the elements, the vehicles, taking the elements like nature, the speed and the last and before and just during and after, all of that in consideration, there will be a definite answer of what has happened. In our opinion, it is an accident. In our opinion, it could have been caused by being, unfortunately, I have to say it, being negligent or not really observant. Speed could have played a serious role, and the underestimation of the weather and the river. However, be that as it may, the information digitally and electronically before and during and after will also give an identification. The main reason for this extreme investigation is, and it should be in any investigation the same if there's a death, is to see if there was foul play. Were these officers, police officers, were they a target? Were they chased? Was there foul play? Did something go wrong pertaining their investigations or their service that they are rendering to the police that would put them in a spot that they are wanted by criminals or targeted by criminals? That's the that's one of the first questions you will always ask if a policeman has died.
So now,
and
my,
even though, yes,
I'm so sorry
you can
to,
ask.
I'm so sorry to cut you off. My colleague was Nandi was mentioning how there are so many kind of loopholes within the information that we're receiving from the police, right? And first of all, because it was a matter of, first of all, we were looking for three cops and yet we fished out five people from the river. So how does that kind of, those type of informations, these small bits coming out in and out, kind of also add to the difficulty of the investigation? Because one person is from Littleton, whereas three others are all the way from Bloemfontein.
Yes.
So how does that also kind of add to the investigation? Does it make it more difficult, or does it not actually, just like the public is saying, just add more confusion on what we were supposed to be told or to believe?
Yeah, look, unfortunately, when information is given, the police will do it in two ways. One, that is necessary for the public to know, because the concern of the public, the families, everybody involved, and it's our, the public's full right as to know what's going on and what's the progress and what's it all about. But there could be information withheld. In any investigation, we are specialist investigators. So when we do investigations, we would give specific information, necessary information, and that needs to be heard by the public. But information could be withheld for a specific reason, because if it is divulged, it can hamper the investigation, especially if there's foul play. If there's no foul play, the moment the police comes forward, in our opinion, there's no foul play. But I cannot, due to an opinion and not being the head of this investigation and not having my specialist investigators in this case, blatantly say, I can say I give an expert opinion, and that's why we're doing this podcast, that there is no foul play. But the police have to come forward with all the units that have been involved, because they included a lot of units, including the cybercrime unit.
Yeah.
There's the divers team, the specialized units, the Hawks, all of them must concur and come forward and say, this is it, ladies and gentlemen in South Africa. This was an accident. We are so sorry for the losses and for the families. Our sincere condolences, but it is blatantly an accident. But in the meantime, you will have bits and pieces of information that come forward. And the number one thing I want to warn is rumors and stories and fake news and the devil's algebra, the add and subtract of information, just opinionated information being sent out as factual information. Your information is always in three categories. It's hearsay information, which is very dangerous, and assumptions. And if you, especially on social media, wherever you put that information, you need to clearly state this is an opinion, like we are doing today.
Yeah. Mm.
And this is factual information, like the vehicle has been found. That is factual information. Mm. The vehicle has been found. Five bodies have been recovered. I, in a previous interview, said it's our opinion that the whole river in its totality must be swept. There might be other bodies as well.
Mm.
And it's a nature situation. Sure. There was extreme floods, extreme rainy seasons everywhere in the country. And a lot of people actually died this year because of floods and of the extreme rainy season that we've had. But be that as it may, those are factual information. The forensic information that follows afterwards concludes whether these people were held underwater or did they drown.
Mm. So now
were they shot at? Is there bullet holes in the car?
Mm.
And obviously the digital and electronic communication 6 months before, during, and at the accident and afterwards. Because if there's criminals involved, there will be a form of track and tracing on their whereabouts, where they're going. It will all be uncovered. That kind of thing will come forward in the digital and electronic cybercrime investigation.
So now, Mike, now as you're speaking, like, it seems as if it's this investigation is probably going to take some time. Going forward, I mean, as you said, obviously it's a matter of differentiating between facts and opinions. Now, going forward, in a situation where we know that certain investigations within the country do take time, are we looking at something that could relatably be a Senzo Meiwa matter? Problem?
No. Because this is, and we thank the media like yourselves and the public and everybody knowing about this story. You know, if a big story is constantly in the media, it puts pressure on the authorities, and especially if there's policemen involved. As I've said earlier before, all deaths should be treated this way, and actually all deaths should get the same attention. Unfortunately, that's not happening. And, you know, if that's the case, and they would have done that, there would be 20,000 media outlets constantly busy, because we've got so many murders and deaths in South Africa. But they've escalated this case due to the fact that it is rare. It's a couple of policemen and another body. And that obviously draws attention. And it's the media and the information that has gone viral everywhere, that has put the spotlight on the authorities, the heads of police, the heads of the specialized units, to deal with this in order to give the public to a calm and restful and stable place where they have answers. And that's why it's going on. So I assume it would be sorted quite quickly. The pathology reports is the most important. The moment the pathology reports is given, we would know if this is an accident or not. Remember, this case has just got two ways that it can go. It was a tragic accident or there was foul play. If it's a tragic accident, closed case. If it's foul play, it might take longer. Now, the inspection of the vehicle, like for bullet holes, was it bumped from behind, any influence in the vehicle, And obviously also any digital and electronic cybercrime information that can be retrieved during the accident, before the accident, and even afterwards will play a major role. Remember, the cell phones and the cell phone information, all of that will be retrieved. Mm-hmm. It does not mean if your cell phone goes with you into the river that you cannot retrieve the information. It's all in the cloud. Mm. There is no such thing as privacy anymore. You can retrieve all that information.
Yeah.
My concern, obviously, is the ability of the forensic units, not necessarily the pathology department, but when it comes to cybercrime in South Africa is the biggest crime there is. It's escalated to being the most crime committed in our country, but we don't have units, police units, that can effectively investigate it. I won't say they ain't experts, but it's a very, very difficult investigation, and you need extreme experts to be able to do those investigations.
I understand. No, thank you, Mike, for giving us your time and your expertise on this matter, especially just sharing the process that it might take and the length, because I think that's a lot of things that people don't really understand how going into going forward the police I have to do and who is involved in the teams that are going to be involved. No, thank you so much, Mike, for giving us your time.
I would like to add, just thank you for the opportunity, but I'd like to add, I would ask the public at this point not to get involved in the spreading of stories, rumors, conspiracy theories, making things bigger as what they are, but to refrain from sending anything if it's not absolutely necessary, and to give the authorities a chance to get this sorted and handled, because any and all things that the people or the public are placing and sending out around, if it's not absolutely factual, it does more harm to the investigation, especially to family members and friends, and it causes a frenzy, and it's unnecessary. But I'm quite sure we as specialist investigators that this case will be completely identified very soon.
Hopefully we're also on that same path as well.
Yes.
No, thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, guys. God bless. All of the best.
Bye. Thanks.
Like Mike said, Nandi, hopefully everything gets fixed quickly. The investigation gets completed. And honestly, for some reason, I actually believe Mike. Hey? After speaking to Mike, I honestly kind of agree. It might have been an accident. It might have been an accident.
It would give us just that,
you know, comfort
closure.
Yes,
yeah. If it's an accident, because you know, like if it's an accident, case closed. Foul play.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot. But anyway, guys, moving on. So while we're dealing with police in rivers, right? We're also now dealing with what has become a trend, according to an expert that we spoke to yesterday. 44 Ethiopians were found once again in Sandton. Guys, Sandton, I don't know what's going on. It's like the attracting hub for people being hijacked and not even hijacked, being kidnapped and trafficked there. So apparently yesterday in the early mornings, South African police obviously rescued 44 Ethiopian nationals who among them 17 were minors, right?
Sure.
Who were found locked in a house in Pokmo, Sandton. The rescue occurred after private security officers conducting a routine patrol heard screaming from the property and alerted the authorities. The police arrived, discovered the men confined in the back rooms, appearing malnourished and dehydrated, with some showing signs of injury and indicating that they had been kept in dire conditions with limited food and no access to sunlight. Now, authorities are investigating the incident as a potential case of human trafficking, noting that the victims are often charged between 30,000 to 50,000 rand for their release. Now, let's take a listen to Lieutenant Colonel Mamvela Masondo on the matter.
For now, we are treating them as illegal immigrants, Section 49. So we've engaged the Department of Home Affairs. We've also engaged the Department of Social Development, because some of them are minors. And the issue of human trafficking cannot be ruled out, but it forms part of an investigation. But for now, we've taken them to the local police station for processing as illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this is not the first time we've seen this, Colonel. We saw a case in Santon earlier this year and also a case last year in Lombardy. What do you make? Is there a syndicate that is operating here?
Yes, there is a possibility of a syndicate, but I know for a fact that these cases are being investigated by the DPCI, the Hawks. Yes, I can confirm that we had a similar incident here in Santon around this area last year, this year, January.
So, Nandi, let me just get your thoughts before we dive right into this discussion.
Honestly, I think it has become a trend, guys. Yeah. Was it February? Was it last year?
I think it was February, right now.
Recently.
February.
Were they 94? Were they how many?
I think it was in 90 or something like that.
Was it in
Sandrahim,
yes.
Yeah.
Guys, what's going on? Because what really terrifies me is the fact that we are all staying in that neighborhood. We don't know what's going on in that one house.
We don't know.
And one night, because the same thing happened there, they had people screaming, jumping and crying, and all of a sudden guns. And they were just asking themselves, so we are passing every day going to buy bread. There are people inside here. And
we don't know.
That we don't. And then same thing happened here. And you also mentioned on your store, Uguti, this is a rented place by a famous... Yeah.
It's a big thing. I think the unique thing about this one was the fact that this was a place that was rented by... I want to make sure that I'm saying it right, so I'm going to say it slowly. A prominent fashion designer. Well, a generational fashion designer who is well known in the industry. Mm-hmm. Their son rented out the place because he lived in Cape Town. So I think also I feel like it's the agencies, hey?
Exactly.
I feel like the problem is the agencies as well. Because even in the is it the Bangladesh one as well?
Yes.
It was also the agent as well.
Because there were apparently a couple stayed there, but they died. And then
then it was a matter of, again, they were renting it out. And then also again, and I think also even in the February one, an agency again, the man goes, he then rents it out, and then he comes back and finds out, okay, no, the property is damaged, and he doesn't even know what's going on. So I think, I don't know what's going on with either the agencies are not doing background information properly or what, but it's a mess.
But also, Gwena, yourself as well, go visit your property.
Nandi.
Go check it out. Just maybe once a year, twice a year. Just go check it out. Is it still, okay? Are they taking care of my property?
Mm.
For you to just rest and say, no, everything is okay. I trust these people. Money is paid every month. Hey, South Africa is a scary place.
It's a scary place, but I think I completely agree with you. I think what's scary is the fact that we don't even know what's going on with our neighbors.
Yes.
Because you're telling me... Because
it's not in the township here where we know our neighbors.
I was about to say this is not a township. This is a gated community, Mnandi, where the walls are high. You don't see what's going on inside. Everybody keeps to themselves. But you would never think that your next door is harboring people for the purpose of selling them. Guys,
and you go on and buy a person.
I think the people who buy the person are the most problematic. Are the most problematic ones. Not even the ones who capture them and traffic them. The ones who even buy them are another problem. But you know what, guys? I hope the police are actually also investigating this as well. That this is increasingly becoming worrisome. And if anything, I would completely be fine with the fact that the police probably did a massive search at Santon Homes.
I was about to say that. Let's raid, guys. Let's raid. A lot that's going on that side. Let's go
just raid the Santon abandoned vacant home.
Exactly, because let's what?
Because literally, because even the expert was like, what if there are other homes that we just don't know about that are just harboring these people? And but now they're not screaming. They're probably going to scream next week. Who knows?
Gwena, how are you going to scream? You get into a place, you know, it's so quiet. You lost hope. Yeah. Literally, you just lose hope.
But guys, you know what? That one is a discussion that is probably going to still be going on. Moving on, right? Guys, this is where I feel like we now must, like, going forward.
Shut
us to make it completely
shut up.
Completely make it clear, right?
These are 90 and I's opinions. These are 90s and I's opinions. We're just going to be telling you the facts. What happened, obviously, is background, like always. But going forward is just an opinion.
Yes.
That's why we say 90 thoughts, Herman thoughts, Quena thoughts.
Yes.
Opinions, right? Let's move on. So in the recent episode podcast and chill of Mac G, ne? I don't know if I can't say his name properly, but I'll move on. Mac G made derogatory remarks about media personality Mini Dlamini, which is not the first time,
mm-hmm.
not the first time, suggesting she couldn't maintain a relationship due to personal hygiene issues.
Cheerful.
Now, again, warning, listeners, discretion be advised. Let's take a listen to that audio.
Oh, my thing is, Minnie's pretty, bro.
Yeah.
Minnie's beautiful.
Why can't she keep a man?
No, I think, I'm suspecting with this guy, I don't know what the other guys, but with this guy, I feel like maybe he had a fantasy. Because Minnie was like the hot girl. Remember, there was a period where she was the girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like maybe that's when the doctor was still coming up, still doing x-rays there,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. And now he's got it. And maybe he just wanted that experience. That's how I see it.
Bro,
we will never know because we weren't inside. But I feel like maybe it's that. And he realized that, okay, what now?
Bro, I'm telling you, man, there's got to be something wrong with her. Like maybe a coochie smells or something, bro.
No. Yeah.
You know this happens, dog. It happens, bro.
No.
Especially with the hot girls.
A little bit.
What if she can't cook?
So now going forward, right? MultiChoice, which now MacG's podcast is now airing on. It's one of the DSTV channels. It's airing on that show, and MultiChoice came out and says that no, man, the controversial episode that you guys are talking about did not air on our platform, but we are committed to upholding broadcasting standards, right? We'll come back to that one. We'll circle back to MultiChoice. And then obviously continuing, Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies, Solly Malatsi, in an exclusive interview, right, said that MultiChoice should take responsibility for content associated with its brand.
Exactly.
We're not saying, shout, but if it didn't air, you can't do it. He's saying it's a brand that is associated with you. Right? And then secondly, he said that there is a need for regulatory oversight of digital content. So for those who do not know, before you guys say freedom of speech, let's take a break. Let's dissect it properly, right? First of all, SABC and all these shows, there's something called the Broadcasting
Commission.
Right. There's a broadcasting commission, and everything that is showed on TV needs to be regulated through that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why at the time when a TV show airs, before it airs, it says if you think that the content we're producing is it violates hate speech, does this
contact
or harms
BBC
people,
SA,
is harmful, you can report us to the BCCSA. That's what it does, right? But now, because of new technology that is forever changing, the BCCSA has not been updated to obviously facilitate the podcasts, your recent news outlets, your YouTube. It's not yet that thing. Although there is a film act, I think there's a film and movie something, that one also does not also facilitate to the podcasts, right? So the minister says that right now they're working on an audio, I think it's audio white paper for an audio and something act that will now include your podcasts, your YouTube, your everything, even down to Twitter and social media.
It will
include that. And which I think honestly is a good thing because I think people are abusing this freedom of speech right. Even when we're speaking to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Communications, she says that people need to let go of this contortion of freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom of speech that is not unlimited. It has a limit.
Mm-hmm.
She said it has a limit. Like every other right, it has a limit. And the limit is where your freedom of speech harms another person.
Yes.
So now if you are constantly listening to a podcast that, I'm gonna, like I said, this is my opinion, defiles women. When I say defiles women, guys.
And then applaud on the comments.
Exactly, I was about to say, then peer people who then applaud on the comments. That is not freedom of speech.
That is not freedom of speech. What Nandi and I are doing right now, that's freedom of speech.
Exactly. Yes.
That's freedom of speech.
Disclaimer, guys.
That's freedom of speech. There's literally a limit to freedom of speech. You can't do that. And not all of us have money like Minita to take you to court. You can't be saying nasty. You can't not even saying nasty things. You can't say derogatory things and defamating people on a public platform where people come to you for entertainment or just all general news. Because some people even do this thing where now they even go to Wu Meg G for news.
Yeah.
Which is alarming, I must say. It's very alarming to the rest of us who are actually in the news world. But you need to be very careful. There are acts and stuff. And honestly, and when we wrote the story, Nandi, people were like, no, you guys, this new law would be violating freedom of speech. That's not how freedom of speech works.
So if they're saying this new law will be violating the freedom of speech, so are they saying that McGee is right, whatever he says?
Yes.
So whenever you're commenting on someone else, you're saying, no, it's right. I guess we need regulators, especially on the social media. Twitter, guys, yo, people are mean. People are mean, and we need regulations no matter what. And McGee, like, to think that I used to listen to him, I don't know what made me stop. I don't know what made me stop, because he talks a lot and he does not respect women. That's what I've noticed with him. It's not just me. I don't know what's his problem with women.
And my thing is that, my thing is that your wife half of the time gets the brunt of what you do on your show.
Yes, she's still staying in the marriage. Gwena, I don't feel sorry for her. They might be sitting together, planning this whole thing. So if she's still in the marriage, clearly there's some sort of, we are working together in this, my love. But
he needs to either reform or, like, there needs to be something that, besides the regulatory act that's coming up. But that one, we all know that when it comes to government legislation and changing of legislature, it's going to take some time.
It's going to take a very long time.
So for now to be going on like this, and the thing is, half of the people are like, no, but Minita doesn't have a problem with it. It's not about that. You're missing the brunt of the point.
I'm saying now, I just hope Minita's listening and will listen to this. Go and open a case. Meg G needs to be taught a lesson. Just once. Spend a night in jail. His head will come back to life. Just once.
Because I were talking about Umusa.
Yes. Umusa did something like, go. These people need to be taught a lesson. Just once. Two nights, Nyana. You'll see that we're all humans. No, Gwenda, we are all humans. We all have feelings. We all need to respect each other.
And to come out and publicly, like, it's honestly atrocious, guys. Especially in a country where GBV is very high. Hey, let's move on, guys. Anyway, that's all for this week's news wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcast, review, and subscribe for free on Iono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at Sowetan Live. This podcast is a Times Dive production, and our producer is the lovely Bulelani. Guys, don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcast, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, The Indigenous Corner with Gogo Zipo, and Deeply Rooted. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the biggest stories from me, Gwena, and my colleague Nandi. Bye.